Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Podcast. This episode brought to you by Encompass Parts, one of the country's largest suppliers of repair parts and accessories for products throughout the home. Learn more at encompass.com. Scott Pearson, how are you, my friend?
Fantastic, Clifton. Super stoked to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, it's grateful that we have the opportunity to get together. And, you know, it's interesting how our industry just kind of evolves. You know, we're all fighting the same front. You know, I just came back from the UA International Training Program, like their week of competition, as well as instruction for all of the UA instructors. One of the things that they'd mentioned was, you know, the significant labor shortage that we have. You know, the UA is looking at about a 30% shortage of technicians going into this next year. And I think that is pretty common across the entire industry. So today, let's talk about some of the pain points that we're witnessing in the industry and solutions that Encompass is providing for that. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Clifton, I think it's something we've been talking about for 5-6 years now, right? The impact that the skilled labor shortage will have on the industry. And it's probably worth considering a lot of the variables that also play into the industry today to really create challenges. You know, we've been sitting on a fraction, very fragmented supply chain for, you know, 3 decades, mm-hmm. with single source brand distributing, with you know, a contractor having to have 7 or 8 relationships across town just to get a simple day's work done. You know, it poses a bigger challenge now that you start to take some of that tribal knowledge out of the industry with guys that have earned their retirement after 30, 35 years.
Right.
And you're left with a younger generation that doesn't have the knowledge or the skill set today, mm-hmm. because they just got to put in the work to get there. So big challenges ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you'd mentioned, you know, like some of the manufacturer, you know, supply chains and the access to it. I can remember as a contractor, that was one of the biggest challenges. I had gotten to a point where I felt comfortable working on just about any piece of equipment, but finding the parts for those equipment was not always the easiest thing. And there were some brands that even if I could find the solution, I couldn't find the OEM part because I wasn't an OEM dealer. And so there's a lot of struggles, especially as we move into products that are more sophisticated, like inverter-driven products and modulating gas furnaces. You know, there are parts that you would hope would be readily available. But you don't want to spend your day just sorting through different supplies and supply houses trying to locate those parts. You know, if I've got a component and I've troubleshoot this thing, I've found what it is, it's pretty disheartening to know that if I call that distributor and they say, oh, well, yeah, but you're not a dealer. You don't have an account here. I actually can't sell you that part. I got one on the shelf, but I can't sell it to you. That's tough. Or maybe they don't even have parts for that generation, even though they're available. So there's a lot of challenges that are out there that I think could be simplified.
Yeah. You know, our thesis has always been release the information to the people in the field, because I think gone are the days that you could be just a good mechanic, mm-hmm. and get the job done.
Right.
You know, it used to be that the parts were readily available in the supply chain. You could go to a lot of different distributors and find a correct part. I think distributors did a great job of somewhat genericizing solutions, but it may have gone too far because, to your point, we're at a crossroads where equipment's more sophisticated because it has to be, and parts aren't necessarily the common focus for most OEMs pushing down the supply chain. So it puts distributors in an awkward position, puts contractors in a much more awkward position. And the impact that has on the homeowners, almost a recessive tax. I mean, I think it ends up having impacts on pricing, impacts on, you know, speed to the solution. You know, Mrs. Jones doesn't want to wait 3 more days with sweaty sheets to get the job done. She's ready to have air conditioning again.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and price in particular, I was listening to a podcast last week from a person that was a previous parts manager for a manufacturer, and he was discussing the cost of inverter control boards for one particular product. And so because of the supply distribution, what they paid for that at the OEM level versus what it ended up at the local distributor, you know, it was a $600 part at the local distributor that cost the manufacturer $11. And we're trying to walk through that whole process. And he said, but you got to realize that part, when it left my warehouse, it stopped six different places. Six different people were in that process, and everyone had their own amount of time and labor involved with that, you know, including the person in the warehouse that was, you know, just putting that on the shelf and stocking it. And so we've seen that, you know, with that profile, it has increased some of the parts, many of the parts on these inverter driven products. And it's left a lot of technicians leery to work on them because of that potential for high cost. Because you'll have technicians go, but why is there so much a difference in these costs? This manufacturer is X and this manufacturer is Z, and they really look very similar to each other. And they might have different components, but they're really, really close. And I don't understand the difference in that. And I'm hoping as an industry, we can solve some of those solutions.
Yeah, I mean, my general opinion is that it is about the supply chain. So commonality between those two parts is probably there. There's probably a distinct difference from a design or engineering standpoint. We know that. You know, each engineer has its own flavor of how he designs a piece of equipment. And it's important that the true OEM part goes back in as a replacement so that it doesn't degrade the life of the system. However, how manufacturers decide to get parts to the market changes the price drastically.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, I think your example of it being touched six times, you know, that's a little bit excessive. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about a fragmented supply chain, but you know, six steps to get to the local market is a very costly exercise. And quite frankly, it's probably something we can solve for. It's something we can definitely solve for speed to market. But when it comes to pricing and availability of true OEM parts to a technician, you know, that's something that we got to consider because of the skilled labor gap that's about to be in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, think about ways that we can get that part to that technician faster. You know, I can remember, you know, back in the old days, if you didn't have a universal part on your vehicle, you were going to the parts house. Right. You were making trips for almost every job. And, you know, think about all of that lost time in transport. And as a contractor, it's the same way. I look about all of that lost revenue as that technician is driving, getting parts and maybe going through a couple different parts houses before they actually get the one that they're looking for. That's a significant amount of downtime and wasted time that could have been focused on, you know, getting to other customers.
Yeah. I mean, the simple math is it's going to impact price, right? If there's wasted time that you can't necessarily get revenue flowing from a contracting perspective, you'll have to make it up somewhere. So right there immediately, you've got an impact on inflation and pricing. If you go beyond that and start to look at the efficiency of a business or the efficiency of getting the jobs done for consumers, you really are just wasting jobs per man day, right? I mean, if you're traveling, let's just say an hour out of every day to go shopping, because ultimately you aren't sure where it is or where it's going to be, or you've got to call around to six different people to get it. You know, that hour times 5 days a week, that's another job on the book, right? So if you can put another job on the board for tech across, I don't know, 10 techs in a company, now all of a sudden you've got a real impact to not only revenue, but an opportunity to become super competitive when it comes to pricing and still get more jobs done for consumers, which is to me, a huge impact on your goodwill and brand in the local market if you're a contractor.
No, absolutely.
That's what I'd be thinking.
Oh, yeah,
about.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I look at that, you know, because I was at a distributor level for quite a while, and on the premium products, you know, those premium products were fantastic units and they attracted some of the best contractors. But the downfall as a supplier, you know, I had to focus on, you know, turnover of supply and the actual demand for certain parts. So I would typically, when a new product would come out, I would have about a 30 to 40% product parts order in place. So that would mean that 60 to 70% of the parts available for a new unit, I could not stock. I couldn't carry that many components. I could stock 30 to 40%, which meant I was looking for the most common, but the rest of those, I just physically couldn't stock. I didn't have the overhead and the capability of doing that. So I relied on other forms of distribution to get those parts to the contractor when they were looking for them. So it was typically from the OEM direct or through a OEM distributor. So even as a distributor myself, I was having to source a pretty significant amount of products from other locations, which adds additional time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing we highlighted a few minutes ago. It's the nature of how it was designed from the get-go. Back when demand truly outran supply, distributors and OEMs locked up and created singularity in the supply chain, right? So if I wanted true, genuine OEM parts, I was bound to one or two brands tops as a distributor. And now that's having the impact, like you mentioned, of, you know, if you want to take care of your good contractor and make sure that they have a process they can build math around with a single source, you've got to go elsewhere to get the parts. So it creates a nuance for having too many cooks in the kitchen, right? As far as pricing goes, availability goes. But, you know, to your earlier point, maybe it's not the responsibility of that local distributor to carry everything, but maybe have access to something, a single source, so that they can take care of their customer at a competitive price and give them genuine, true OEM parts. I mean, what do you think that has on a basic level impact to the end user if we swim down channel a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you think about a distributor, you know, a distributor stocks parts because they have to. A distributor, you know, they're really in the job of moving boxes. You know, that is the direct path to market for the manufacturers is through the distributor. So carrying, you know, supply parts is kind of like an ancillary. It's kind of like technical support. It's something you have to have, but it's not really a profit generator. You know, there's a lot of stocking, a lot of labor, a lot of transportation in doing individual parts. And so I would imagine many distributors would be very open to that that partnership of working with a parts supply contact that could get those parts to that contractor quickly so that they could focus on what they were really designed to do, which was move a lot of boxes.
I mean, I think you're right. I think selling equipment and selling parts, it's two different businesses.
It is.
If you think of the mechanics behind it, the inventory planning, the you know, general buying and reselling of relationships across parts, it's much different than the planning associated with equipment, right? And to your point, they're in the business to sell equipment. That's where their high stakes revenue is. That's where their good margins are. You know, if it's going to make you more money and keep you on a balance sheet healthier to invest in equipment inventory versus parts inventory, you know, that's the natural go-to, right? My thought is if they're so distinctly different businesses, you know, why not separate the two? Why not have equipment as a business and parts as a separate business? Because think about it, it's not just the technicians in the field that we're missing in the next 5 years on skilled labor. It's upstream too. It has an impact on the distributor, you know, the talent and experience in those roles at the counter. Manufacturers, you know, our group talks to parts teams every day at OEMs, and you can see the difference today versus 10 years ago with the talent on the teams. It's not as healthy as it used to be.
So. Yeah. Well, if you think about, you know, a common or typical parts counter employee, you know, many of the parts counter employees were technicians, right? They came out of the field because they've got the parts experience, which means for every person that I put on the counter, I have now removed somebody from the technical side. I've removed someone from installation. Versus in, you know, the warehousing, that is, if someone has experience in warehousing from other industries, they've already got good experience in organization and in management of inventory. So when we look at a company that is leveraging their labor, it is much more advantageous for the entire industry to have our labor in the actual warehouse side of it versus that parts counter. Because as we continue losing our labor from the field and we're bringing it into the parts counter, yes, we're adding some good technicians at the parts counter that can help find the right parts, but now we've lost that additional labor force out in the field.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, in my opinion, it comes down to the data. Right. You can't teach a novice counter person how to ID parts unless they have the experience or they have access to information that they can learn.
Yeah, a lot of training.
And I think that's the challenge that I've seen in roles at distribution for the last 20 years is training people on the counter is tough because the access to the information to train them is hard to reach. You know, when a guy calls in and says, hey, I need part number, price, and availability, if you don't know where to start that research process, you're in a bad state and you won't be able to give them an answer for hours. And quite frankly, we don't staff the counter for the peak season. So hours is not something we have the liberty of.
So. Very true. So what kind of solutions, like what can we do to expedite this process and maybe think about it from a slightly different perspective?
Yeah, I think if we focus on the data component, you know, one of the biggest challenges that I've seen over the past 20 years is related to that fragmented supply chain. You've got parts information and ID information behind, you know, 100 different firewalls, right? Everybody locked it up and said, this is exclusive to this distributor. You know, if you need to ID that OEM part, you got to call that distributor. I think that was well intended. You know, it was a means of competition. I think, but we're a crossing today that we've got to consider, hey, if we release that information, it might actually help accelerate the supply chain, take care of HVAC in general. So my thought is release the information, aggregate it in a way that's easily accessible and not in a way that's guessing, right? We've got lots of solutions out there today that attempt to cross-reference to a good degree, but they're all falling short to some extent. You know, 10, 20% of the time they're inaccurate. That has an impact on the technician and the homeowner. You know, so let's focus on what was intended to be in that machine by the OEM and give that truer information away so that we're not necessarily guessing down the line and we can create real solutions. So it needs to be more of a database like Encompass is building where it's direct access to OEM parts, direct access to the information, you know, key in a model number, serial number, and bring back a full bill of material with parts ID, price, availability, and something you can start to build math around. So,
right. And so that's the world that Encompass is moving into?
Yeah. I mean, our thesis has always been, let's aggregate the whole, let's focus on parts. You know, that's a business that we're in. You know, if you had a soundbite for Encompass in general over the past 70 years, it's really anything with a power source of the home, we have the parts for. So when you're doing repairs in a home service standpoint, you've got access to 27 different verticals. HVAC and plumbing is now the capstone to that home. But one of our big focuses on, you know, self-sufficiency in the field or at the counter for a distributor to ID parts. You know, even if you don't buy from us, use our site for today for parts ID. It's pretty fantastic. But the idea that you can drop a model number in and get back a full parts list for that machine, there's very few places you can get that. So, you know, goodwill intended, you know, parts ID is there from encompass.com. But, you know, hopefully as a nice value exchange that also becomes a transaction. Because I think that's the one thing missing from a lot of the tools out there today is you can find the part number sometimes, but then where do you go to buy it? So.
Very cool. One-stop shop.
I guess. I've always hated that term, but you know, single source solutions that you can build math around go. Are important.
Yeah, right? I like that terminology too. Well, very cool. So I encourage everyone to start thinking, you know, outside the box, thinking from a different perspective, try to utilize software, utilize tools and technology to make our industry more efficient. And there are a variety of different aspects that need to be more efficient, all the way from parts allocation to distribution to just making sure that we're getting that customer satisfied and up and running in as short a period of time as possible. So I encourage you all to learn more about Encompass at encompass.com. And Scott Pearson, I'm grateful that you joined us today.
Glad to be here, Clifton. Thank you.